establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
at Abu Ghraib. And I think some of that, what we were looking at in those pictures, reflects the principality that's over that region, that's still over that region. And I think that's somewhat responsible for the chaos and the craziness that we have over there. So there's a spiritual dimension, even in the war of Iraq, which, of course, the media will never cover. But I believe that some of what we're up against there is a power and principality which has never been deposed in that area. In my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, I get into the supernatural and different manifestations of the supernatural happening in real time, happening currently, even as we speak, somewhere in the world. There are over 10,000 UFO sightings per year. Now, that comes from a man named George Filer, who releases a weekly report called Filer Files. And I had a conversation with him, and he told me that about 5,000 of these things are reported directly, and he believes about another 5,000 are not reported. In other words, they just go and people see these things and they're either embarrassed or too afraid to say anything, so they don't. So he estimates conservatively there's about 10,000 sightings per year. Bottom line, if just one of these things is true, if one of these sightings is real, then we have to start thinking or rethinking our worldview, or some of us have to anyway.
Well, I thought you when we talked last, you had mentioned the Larry King program a couple of weeks ago, and it's amazing how things happen. I just was watching television this last weekend. I was at a hotel in up at the Oakland airport attending a meeting, and they rebroadcast this program with Larry King on the Phoenix sightings of these UFOs some years ago, and there's the former governor of Arizona saying, "Yeah, I saw one." Well, I thought that was really so fascinating, especially the way that they brought on the skeptic, the high-ranking Army officer who was in command of an air base, who's saying, "Oh, there is no such thing. It's all flares, and it's all imaginary." After all, if this was true, somebody would have come forward and spilled the beans.
And that to me is the way the media paints the whole UFO phenomena. They always poke fun out of it. They treat it very glibly, and anybody who really believes in this thing is radical fringe or a kook or a wacko or whatever. What's interesting is, as you mentioned, the former governor of Arizona, I remember seeing a news conference that he held about the Phoenix light. And for those listeners who don't know, the phenomena over Phoenix was dubbed or named the Phoenix lights, because literally thousands of people saw this thing. And it was huge. The craft, apparently, from eyewitness reports, was just huge. It just flew silently and very low over the city of Phoenix. Thousands of people witnessed it. So when the governor came out, he had a little carnival show. He had a guy dressed up as a gray alien running around the stage, and they just poked fun of the thing. And now, I think he was a shill. I think he was, he was told, this is what you do, this is how you do it. And what was interesting is years later, almost a decade later, perhaps a little more, he's on the Larry King show now, several weeks back, and there's the bumper music.
There's the bumper music. That means, well, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
As we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua, praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath. Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Shabbat meal, Midrash Fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can get more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so come join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. And, of course, whenever the subject of the UFOs come up, then, of course, well, the little gray men from the other planets. Oh, they're visiting from other planets. You really believe that these are space visitors. Well, of course, those people who have a grasp of what's really going on in the spiritual battle don't think that these are space visitors. We believe that most of us believe that these are demonic beings, but you see, that would mean that the Bible is true, that there is another dimension. There actually are fallen angels, and the biblical story about the Nephilim and this supernatural realm is really true. So what did they do? Why, they shift this whole idea to get you thinking. Anybody who believes in UFOs obviously believes in visitors from other planets. And so that's how they shift the whole discussion away from what's really going on to something which is really so absurd. Most people find it very difficult to believe that people have come from other universes or from other galaxies. And, of course, there's some people who do, of course, but what they do, if you get people thinking along the wrong lines, then, of course, you can't have a discussion. And not one person on that whole panel with Larry King mentioned the possibility that these were supernatural beings from the other dimension. Did you notice that?
I absolutely noticed that. In fact, the people that even believe in the phenomenon at all, between the skeptic and the astronaut that was there, Buzz Aldrin, I mean, these guys had trouble getting a word in edgewise. And was interesting, of course, is Jesse Marcel Jr. was there, and at 11, when he was 11 years old, in Roswell, New Mexico, in 1947, he actually handled pieces from a debris field. And the backstory there is this, that his father, Jesse Marcel Sr., was called out to a ranch by Mack Brazel, owned by Mack Brazel, or at least Mack Brazel was overseeing it, I should say. And reportedly there was some strange object had crashed. And so Marcel's out there, and he realizes that whatever this stuff is, it's not us. We didn't make it. And he gathers some of it up, and before he takes it back to the base, he stops at his house, and it's very late at night, gets his son up, and shows him the memory medal. And what that was aluminum foil-type metal that you could roll up in a ball, and when you let it go, the metal apparently, allegedly, just took back its original shape, changed back into its original shape. Now, of course, any foil that I've ever seen never does that. And when it changed back or reverted to its original shape, it was completely smooth. They couldn't cut it. They couldn't dent it. They tried, you know, using a torch on it, apparently, and none of these things worked. Of course, now he's a guy that actually handled the material, and he has it's direct evidence from the crash, and the skeptics, of course, won't listen to his story and poo-poo him. But getting back to the governor, what amazed me was, now it's a decade later, and the former governor of Arizona, first of all, when he gets the chance to speak in the microphone, national television, in front of millions of viewers, he apologizes and shifts his position. He apologizes for the way he treated the entire affair. He apologized to the constituency. And his next breath said, I was in Phoenix at the time, and I saw the craft, and it was not of this world. Now, reading between the lines, and, of course, this is conjecture on my part, and I can't prove this. If this guy saw it while he was governor, and he said in his own words that he did see it while he was governor, why didn't he come out and say that a decade ago when the phenomena happened? And I believe, of course, he was pressured not to say that and told, this is how you handle it. And, of course, they, you know, trotted out the guy in the gray alien suit and just made light of the whole thing. Bottom line is this. Can you imagine if the media and our government actually comes out and says that this stuff is real, that it's there, we've known about it for decades? The panic it's going to cause, I believe, is going to be just incredible. And, of course, this, in my opinion, ties into the subtitle of my book, The Coming Great Deception and the Luciferian Endgame. And there was a program on the Discovery Channel last night, and it was once again about UFOs, and it was unbelievable to watch, because essentially it's laying the groundwork for what I call the alien gospel, which is simply this: that the aliens created us, genetically manipulated us, about 20,000 to 30,000 years ago, from primitive man to what we are now. They are, in fact, our progenitors. They are the missing link. They also seeded into the different cultures different avatars or holy men. Jesus, Buddha, Moses, Muhammad, Krishna, all these different people were actually manipulated genetically by alien technology to bring, quote, enlightenment. So when they come back, when they actually do the revealing, let's say, that there's an agenda here. And that agenda is simply this, that, hey, we genetically manipulated you, and we'll show you who God really is. And, of course, at the end of the book, there's a scenario. It's a fictional account, a scenario that I give. But what if you wake up one morning after a devastating war in the Middle East, where a confederacy of nations have come up against a land of unwalled villages? This is the political part of the book, and also ties into the prophetic part of the book. And I'm speaking essentially, or exactly, I'm speaking about the Ezekiel 38-39 war prophesied in the book Ezekiel 2,500 years ago. When that war happens and Israel responds, I believe, with their neutron bomb arsenal, their nuclear arsenal, the world holds its collective breath. What if that's the moment in time that this event, the Ezekiel 38-39 war, triggers the supernatural, and we wake up, and on CNN and the Fox News Channel, we see mile wide or 2 mile wide or 3 mile wide UFO craft over major cities of the world? How is that going to change everybody's worldview? And I believe if that happens, unless a person is born again mystically, and what I mean by that is, like, I don't know how the spirit of a living God comes into my heart, but I just know he does, and I'm thankful for it. And so if a person isn't born again and isn't walking in that and doesn't know the truth, which is what Jesus came to give us, I'm leaving so the Comforter will come and teach you in all things. I'm glad I have the Comforter dwelling inside me, because I won't be deceived, and I know, Dr. Stan, you won't be deceived, but many people will look at this, look at the craft with their own eyes, and they'll go, well, I guess it's true. I guess, you know, here they are our progenitors, they did manipulate us, evolution is true, all these, the God of the Bible is just something that they made up. In fact, which is interesting, and I quote this man in my book, Barry Downing, a Presbyterian minister, I'm not sure whether he's an ex-Presbyterian minister at this point, but he's written a book, and he believes that all the miracles of the Bible, both Old and New Testament, are directly related to ET intervention, extraterrestrial intervention. Moses parting the Red Sea, it's extraterrestrial intervention. Jesus walking on water, ET help. Transfiguration, once again, ET. He's taken Jesus' resurrection, manipulated by ET. Jesus ascending into heaven, E.T. Changing the water into wine, E.T. And, you know, the Ten Commandments, E.T. Everything is E.T. to him. Everything is the extraterrestrial. So, in my opinion, Mr. Downing is already set up and already believes, literally believes, in what I call the alien gospel. So I'm not making this stuff up. There's a person who has a whole book about it that supposedly has a Christian worldview, but obviously doesn't. And he's already running with the story. He already believes in this so much that he's written a book about it. And I just find that incredibly fascinating.
Well, I really, one of the things I really appreciated about your book was this idea of the supernatural and how, you know, most people sort of cast that aside. You know, that's just, well, that's just a talk, you know. We live in a materialistic world, and yet you point out that the very foundation of our nation is in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was that our founding fathers celebrated Christmas. In fact, to this very day, we celebrate Christmas. But what's Christmas about? It's about a man being conceived by a virgin. I mean, talk about supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I am being conceived by a virgin, and of course, then being born and becoming a religious leader. And then, as you pointed out, Easter. Easter is even more incredible. I mean, this man is killed, and he comes back to life. And yet, certainly Christmas and Easter are an important part of the belief system of our people. And you talk about the supernatural. I mean, has there ever been anything more supernatural than those two stories? Is the supernatural real? I believe it is. I know you believe it is. And most of the people out there in the listening audience, if they really stopped and thought about it, do believe in the supernatural. They just don't like to talk about it because it's much easier to believe in space aliens than in the supernatural battle that really is what dominates politics and prophecy and everything going on today.
You know, there's a quote, Dr. Stan, that's on the back of the book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, but it's a quote that I bring the reader back to throughout the whole book, and that quote is simply this: the current political landscape is in direct correlation to supernatural events that happened, in some cases, millennia ago. And as he just pointed out, and rightly so, that Christmas in our culture in America is a national holiday. We all celebrate Christmas. Now, most of us believe in the Christmas story. There's a small fraction of us that don't, and that's fine. People can believe what they want to believe. But the bottom line, it's a national holiday, and it's there because it's at the root, it's at the foundation of our very culture. The whole idea of the Bible, and in fact, in the beginning of the book, I actually talk about some of the founding fathers and bring in direct quotes from George Washington and John Adams and other of the founding fathers, kind of, you know, pinning this idea down, shoring up this idea that in fact when the America was founded, that it was a Judeo-Christian worldview of the founding fathers, and this is why we enjoy the freedom in this country that we have, because it's I believe it can be traced directly to biblical roots, but those roots are founded entirely in supernatural events, as you pointed out. Jesus' resurrection. I mean, how much more supernatural do you want to get? The whole Israeli conflict today, let's skip on the other side of the world, the Jews are gathered back into their homeland, which I believe fulfills another prophecy of Ezekiel 37. And it's very, very interesting that they're gathered back after this almost 2,000 years of diaspora, after Titus in AD 70 came in and raised Jerusalem and slaughtered the inhabitants and sent the rest into slavery. So most cultures would have lasted about 20 to 40 years, and they would have been completely assimilated by the dominating culture, and they would have lost any form or trace of who they were as a people. And we can see throughout history that really is the case, that once a conquering army comes in and rapes and pillages and destroys your city and your culture, your way of life is pretty much gone after about 20 to 40 years. And yet we see from AD 70 to 1948 that the Israelis, the Jewish people, were kept as a people, which I believe right there is an unbelievable supernatural event. And then, of course, prophecy being written 2,500 years ago saying that I will gather you from the four corners of the earth and reestablish you in your former homeland. In other words, in 1948, after the Holocaust and the horrors of the Holocaust, the Jews found themselves in what is now, of course, Israel. And in 1948, Israel was voted by the United Nations as a country. So the nation literally was born in a day, which fulfills prophecy. The Jews were gathered from the four corners of the earth and collected back into their land, which fulfills prophecy. And another prophecy is right from Jesus' own mouth when he says that Jerusalem will be trodden over by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is over. And, of course, in 1967, when the Israeli army recaptured the old city of Jerusalem, and there's pictures of them at the Wailing Wall and on the Temple Mount, and I believe that that triggers the prophetic clock. That's one event that we can all point to in our time frame, in our modern time frame, where prophecy is actually being fulfilled. And it's funny, when you point the skeptic to that, I was on the George Norrie show, Coast to Coast, and I kind of whetted his appetite. I said, you know, George, there's prophecy which has been fulfilled in our own time. And he said, well, like what? And that's the prophecy I pointed him to, the fact that, you know, the Jerusalem would be trodden over by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is finished. And we see that prophecy fulfilled in our own day.
We'll be back in just a moment with Liz Marzulli.
I'm speaking with Angela Smith.
Here hit their highest level in history. We're now sending the OPEC oil-producing countries $500 million a day. But our country can do something about it by requiring a major increase in the gas mileage of new cars and trucks, getting our vehicles to a combined average of 35 miles per gallon by 2020. That'd save a two-car family about $700 a year. Of course, the big auto companies have blocked any such increase for decades. And now they're at it again, saying, oh, they're for better gas mileage too, when they're actually trying to slow down and weaken any new requirements. It's time to stand up to the auto companies and support a fuel efficiency increase to 35 miles per gallon by 2020. Express your support at pewfuelefficiency.org. Let's save money at the pump and send less money to OPEC. Paid for by the Pew Charitable Trusts.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only one in five will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified, caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dan Beck, Peter Network, and there's really so much to this book. Now, I should mention that Len is with his other, called the Nephilim Trilogy. It's three books. They're admittedly novels about this whole idea of the Nephilim, these beings who are a result of the crossing between women and these fallen angels, and they're described in the book of Genesis. Certainly, a very strange story, this idea of these beings from the other dimension mating with women, and yet something happened, something terrible had happened to the earth, to the point where God set out to destroy it, and that's what happened at the time of the flood, because it was only Noah whose bloodline had not been contaminated by these beings from the other dimension. Well, they do such things exist today. And one thing I found fascinating in the story is in the book, and this, of course, is factual, not fiction, was the story of the Mothman. And I'd never heard this story before. And you'd actually done a good deal of research on it. Would you want to just discuss that?
I'd love to. Thanks, Dr. Stan. The Mothman prophecies was a supernatural event, I believe, that happened in 1966 and 67 in a little town called Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And as the story goes, there was a two couples were in a car, and they were kind of joyriding up at the place called the TNT area. What this was a former munitions plant that the Army had set up in World War II that manufactured TNT, hence the name the TNT area. And it was abandoned. It was a pretty creepy place. Large buildings that were used by the military, but had just when the military pulled out, that they just kind of left the base standing. And people would go up there and joyride around in their cars and park and do things that teenagers do. But these two couples were actually married. And as the story goes, they're driving around in the TNT area and they see this thing, this what appears to be a man, but it's very bizarre looking. It's between 7 and 9 feet tall, and it had wings on its back, and the wings were kind of membranous, bat-like wings, sort of, and according to the witnesses. And they were terrified of this thing, and the way it flew, it just kind of shot its wings out and up it went, and they were terrified of this thing. And the witnesses recall that when they looked at the creature in the eye, they were mesmerized by it, almost hypnotically. And they start hightailing it out of there down the road, away from the TNT area, and much to their horror, this entity, this creature, this manifestation of the supernatural, is flying above their car. They're going 100 miles an hour, and the thing would kind of go just a little bit in front of them so they could see it out the windshield. It never would fly completely in front of the car, but it would fly like just up to the hood area and then drop back. And then so it hovered kind of over the car, and its wings would come down and hit the sides of the windows and the bottoms of the doors. So it was absolutely terrifying, according to the witnesses. And they got into town, went right to the police. The women were rushed to the hospital and treated for shock. And the story broke, of course, nationally, and a reporter by the name of John Keel came down and did investigations for a few years and wrote the book, The Mothman Prophecies, which later became the movie starring Richard Gere, which really does, as usual, does this sort of thing a lot of injustice. The Mothman was cited by several people, actually over 100 witnesses over a period of a year. Everyone who encountered this thing, I mean literally everyone who encountered it, was left with a feeling of dread, fear, and loathing. The thing was just, no one ever came away, this is a quote from one of the researchers, no one ever came away from looking at Mothman or having experienced Mothman feeling good about it. There was always this lingering feeling of dread and fear. And I just found that incredibly interesting. And, you know, the Mothman appeared to lots of people over this period of time. One of the researchers I've spoken with, Travis Short from Black River Films, are actually doing a documentary on this, believes that there may have been more than one entity manifesting. But what was interesting is all the witnesses who saw this creature, none of them had victory over it. What I mean by that is none of them knew how to deal with this thing. They were all paralyzed with fear, petrified with fear, and weren't able to kind of shake this thing or have any power over it or fight it or move it away or you know, feel like they were had the upper hand, let's say, except for one retired Christian missionary who had been in New Guinea for 8 years and had dealt with supernatural manifestations similar to what Mothman was supposedly was. And the story that he recounts, and this is like years later, after all the furor has died down about Mothman, he comes forward and he says, well, I saw it too. And he recounts this story that he was coming home one night from work. This is now he's returned from the mission field and he's back in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So he comes back into his house where he and his wife are living, and he feels very uneasy. He feels like there's something in the house. And he goes from room to room and literally searches it, goes down to the basement, searches there. And finally, they have dinner, and around 10:30, they retire for the evening. Well, around 2 o'clock in the morning, he's awakened, and he looks around his room, and he doesn't see anything at first, and then he looks into a corner near his bed, and he realizes that here's this entity about 7 feet tall with his head kind of sunken in its shoulders with these large bat-like wings protruding from his back, and he realizes who it is, and he's hypnotized by the look. At first, he says in his own words, for about 45 seconds, he's paralyzed with fear. He can't do anything. And what happens next, what he relates next to me, is just amazing. And it's like, to me, it's like a modern account of how we're supposed to fight this sort of spiritual entity, because the scriptures, the Bible says specifically, our weapons are not carnal, but are spiritual. And this man, he actually uses a spiritual weapon, and what that is the Word of God. And he says in his own words, as he began to think and recite Psalms and Scripture in his mind, and listen to this, he said it was like a gunshot, a slug going into the entity. As he began to speak Scripture and think it, just think it, it was like, you know, the entity, it was like shooting the entity. The entity just felt this, you know, I mean, he didn't go into the description like it didn't double over like a gunshot, but apparently it was like a slug going into it. It moved the creature back, and slowly the creature just dissipated into nothing. And so it's the only account I've been able to find dealing with the Mothman out of the hundreds of witnesses that saw this thing where someone, you know, used spiritual principles written 2,000 years ago for us, and they're applicable today. So when the spiritual stuff starts to manifest in this world, as 2 Thessalonians tells us, that when Satan comes, he comes with all signs and lying wonders, what is to be our weapon? That's the Word of God. It says in Ephesians very succinctly that our weapons are not carnal, but are spiritual, the sword of the Spirit. And it, you know, it gives that. It lists what is our offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. And it's exactly what this retired missionary used. He used the Word of God that's in our Bible, and he moved that creature out of the room.
And we'll be back in just a moment here with Lynn Marzulli.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Gas prices this year hit their highest level in history. We're now sending the OPEC oil-producing countries $500 million a day. But our country can do something about it by requiring a major increase in the gas mileage of new cars and trucks, getting our vehicles to a combined average of 35 miles per gallon by 2020. That'd save a two-car family about $700 a year. Of course, the big auto companies have blocked any such increase for decades, and now they're at it again, saying, oh, they're for better gas mileage too, when they're actually trying to slow down and weaken any new requirements. It's time to stand up to the auto companies and support a fuel efficiency increase to 35 miles per gallon by 2020. Express your support at pewfuelefficiency.org. Let's save money at the pump and send less money to OPEC. Paid for by the Pew Charitable Trusts.
One hour, we can really not do justice to this book. It's an important book, and we're going to carry it through our ministry because we feel that people must understand the supernatural. There are more and more manifestations of this, more and more sightings of UFOs, and really so many recorded cases of alien abductions. Our good friend Chuck Missler wrote a book on alien abduction, which was one of the largest Christian publishing houses, asked him to write the book. When they saw it, they wouldn't put it out. So Chuck has actually done that on his own. But he notices there that there's a Harvard psychiatrist who has recorded over 5,000 cases of alien abduction among people here in the United States and I think in Canada. And I mean, this is not imaginary. These are very real things that have happened to real human beings, and there's a continuity of all the stories. Before I go on, would you like to put out your web page or how people can get in touch with your ministry?
I'd love to. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. First of all, Amazon is completely sold out, so you can't get it there, although for a while it was the number one in the prophecy books, newly released, and it got down to very low in Amazon ratings, which was kind of exciting, but you can't get it there. So the place to get it is my website, which is www.spiral, like a spiral staircase, spiralofliftspiralofliffe.com, and you can just click and it'll take you right to the landing page, and you can order it from there, and you'll get an autographed copy from me. So it's www.spiral, like a spiral staircase, spiral of life, spiralofliffe.com.
And it is really fascinating reading, and of course the story of the Mothman is simply one of many stories I hear in the book. Because you had actually talked to some of these people, hadn't you, who'd witnessed this phenomenon?
Well, the people that I spoke to were actually researchers who had spoken to the witnesses, and I'm trying to get back there. They have a Mothman festival now that is held every year in September, and I may be going back as one of the speakers to discuss it. So my research, I actually spoke to the people who interviewed the witnesses, so I'm like
okay.
One step removed.
Well, that's good enough, because this story is so incredible. Unless you understand that there is a supernatural element and there are these beings out there, and they're described certainly in the Bible. I mean, the Bible doesn't ignore the supernatural. It warns us against it. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is another dimension, and these are not alien beings.
Welcome.
And of course, we're told about the Nephilim. Now, what do you think is happening today? Everything I get is from talking to people who've been watching these things happening. So many of the beings, when they come here, they seem to have a fascination with the reproductive structure of the human beings they encounter.
Yeah, I find that just fascinating. The Nephilim trilogy, there's actually parts of the second book, especially The Unholy Deception, deals with a woman who's been abducted since her early childhood and how she's trying to get away from it and get out of the phenomenon. And finally she does, once again, through spiritual principles that we just talked about before the break. In other words, using the Word of God to fight these creatures, because it's the only thing you can use to fight them off. But what I find chilling about it is the parallels between Genesis 6 and the modern abduction phenomena. And of course, in Genesis 6, we realize that there's an incursion of the fallen angels, and they're here on the earth, and they're having sex with the women, and the offspring is called the Nephilim. And And this breeding program could have gone on for as much as 400 years from the time that they touched down till the time of the flood where they were wiped out. So you've got 400 years of this constant procreation, which is why it says very specifically, and I find this just unbelievable, that Noah is pure in all his generations. There may be more in that line than we just, you know, kind of read and pass over. I believe that what that's talking about is that everyone else on the planet at the time was somehow connected, or their genetic strain was tainted with some sort of a hybrid influence, in other words, fallen angels. Remember, it's a 400-year manifestation that these guys were on the planet. So I believe it was global. I believe when they came, they touched, the fallen angels touched down on Mount Hermon. From there, they spread out. I believe it could have been a global civilization, and this is why, when it says that, you know, the floodwaters covered the entire earth, it's literal. I don't believe it was just some localized little flood. The Chumash Indians, where I live in California, have a flood story, you know, have a flood legend. So most cultures throughout the world have this. But what's really bizarre is, for some reason, they manifest again. We read that in Numbers 13, when the spies go into what is now Israel, and they say, we were like grasshoppers in their sight because we saw the Nephilim. We saw the Nephilim there, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Josephus says very specifically in his book, The Antiquities of the Jews, he discusses the fact that the bones of the Nephilim, bones of the Nephilim, were openly on display in the first century in Jerusalem. And of course, when Titus came in and destroyed it in AD 70, it was probably destroyed with most of the city. But at least the skeletons were there, and the people at the time could look at them. And Josephus writes that the Nephilim were huge, tall, very large beings with fearsome countenances, and their voices would apparently send chills down a grown man. I mean, it was just terrifying stuff, billowing voices. But jump to modern time, and I believe that there's an end game with this breeding program that are the guys in the UFOs, which people say aliens, of course. We believe that they're fallen angels and demons, and I'll get into that in a second. But the breeding program is, I think, has an end to it, and that basically is to create a hybrid, a demonic hybrid, which then I believe will be the Antichrist. In other words, I think the Antichrist will boast this earthly woman and fallen angel type breeding thing, which is a movie event, and there's the bumper music.
We're out of time, God bless, but I do want to get you back on this station later. Thanks very much for being with
us. Thanks, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
the Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
The great men of the past understood the secret, whether it be Plato or Aristotle or Alexander the Great. Did you ever wonder how Alexander, with 35,000 Macedonian troops, was able to take on the army of Darius with hundreds of thousands and elephants? And how could he possibly defeat Darius? And yet he did, and history records it. But history will never tell you what I will tell you from the writings of Alexander and Plutarch. And so that is why my talk on the forbidden secret is so important. It's available in DVD or VHS with a syllabus. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, we're going to carry Lynn Marzelli's book, Prophecy, I should say Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. It's inexpensive. I think it's $14.95, something like that, plus shipping. We think it's important. We have a book on alien encounters, which goes into the background of these spacecraft and these beings and what they really are. We have a great a book written by Malachi Martin called Hostage to the Devil. And it is actually a record of five exorcisms recorded by the Catholic Church, documented by it. It is a book that helped to change my life in the early 1980s. And we also offer that the special, along with our interviews with Malachi Martin, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, four CDs or four tapes set, as you get the two of them together at a reduced price. You need to understand the other dimension that's out there. We have a four tape set called The Supernatural, where you'll hear Joanna Michelson, who was a medium, who was trained as a psychic surgeon, who participated in over 400 surgeries that were performed in a little room in a small place where they would actually be reaching into the abdomen or reaching into the head of people and taking out tumors and curing people with incurable disease. And Joanna thought it was wonderful till she realized it was all a manifestation of the other dimension. And now she, of course, is a minister's wife, has given up her gift as a medium. But the four-tape set on the supernatural and the book that Joanna wrote is available from Radio Liberty, The Beautiful Side of Evil. You need to understand this, and you need to understand how you deal with the supernatural, because the time is going to come when all of us who are believers are going to have to know how to deal with the other dimension, because it's going to become ever more obvious that behind everything that is happening politically and culturally are these powerful spiritual forces. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and our webpage, RadioLiberty.com.